Good morning. You've tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show on Thursday morning with Jack, that's me, and Jim, that's him. And we are here on September the 1st, the very first morning show of September, on the very first day of September, with no guest in the studio other than Jim Healy, who will be serving a dual role as host and guest this morning.
How can I interview myself? I'm sure listeners are tired of me. I was here for the hour from 7 to 8 because we've been having some difficulties getting Amy Goodman and Democracy in.
Yes, that is, and that's something I'm working on, trying to figure out what's
going
on.
That'd be Jack, the worker.
Yes, and I'm those of you who tune in for Democracy Now, at least today you had a little company in the form of Jim Healy. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have the show back one way or another, even if I have to download it and put it in all by myself. But which is fine. That's the way we used to do it. It was just nice that for a while there it just
would come in.
Took care of itself. Yeah. We get it sent to us and it loads all by itself, and for some reason it's not working right now. But that's a little into the details.
That's technology. You know, you sit at your computer and you do repetitive behavior and it builds trust and confidence. Mm-hmm. And then one day you do it and it doesn't work. So Democracy Now would feed itself in and it would work perfectly. And then it pulled the rug out underneath us.
Yep.
Okay.
And what has changed? Unknown.
We don't know.
Yeah. But you, I did see. I didn't tune in for most of your show, but I did see what you had lined up to play.
I imagine it was pretty good. Yeah. I did all morning songs, songs that had morning in the title, from the Beatles to Etta James to Joan Baez, Ian and Sylvia, Eric Clapton, Townes Van Zandt, Robbie Robertson and the Red Road Ensemble, just Cherokee Morning Song. Mm-hmm. That is one that I just love. But I had fun, and I encouraged everyone to, because the morning is beautiful, to go outside with a cup of tea, cup of coffee, sit down, and just take in the moment.
It is a beautiful morning. We've also had some... We had a little. I was down here last night at about 9, turning the transmitter back on because
It
was windy. Whoa. We had some lightning, some power surges, but we.
Let's hope no fires.
It doesn't seem too smoky out this morning. So
there's a lot of haze in the forecast. Before we get too far with our weather, I want to say good morning to my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia, as I am wont to do. They have Alexa, and they say, as they sit in their little area there with a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and bammo, we are being heard right now, Jack, in Arlington, Virginia. And the weather forecast, for those who really care, it's 78 now and sunny, high in the upper 80s. That's for Arlington. Isn't technology amazing?
Yeah, it is. And high in the upper 80s in Arlington, Virginia, it feels a little warmer than high in the upper 80s in North Idaho.
Should we say that word that begins with H, humidity, and high levels of it, but so be it.
I'll dive right in now to our weather.
Do.
Here we go. From the National Weather Service, here it comes. It is a sunny and then a hazy kind of a day with a high of 89 degrees today. That widespread haze supposed to blow in after 3 p.m. South wind, 3 to 8 miles an hour. Widespread haze tonight or this evening before 7 p.m. And then clearing up for a little while in the evening and then hazy again after midnight. Mostly clear with a low around 56 degrees. Light variable wind. Mostly sunny tomorrow in a high of 84 degrees on that being Friday, and mostly clear on Friday night. Or did I, I misspoke. Hazy tomorrow morning and then sunny after that with a high near 95.
Go away.
Okay, I jumped ahead to Saturday when it's cooling down again and clearing up. Mostly sunny with a high of 84 degrees. No haze predicted for Saturday at this time, and hopefully with no, if no fires break out in our area, that forecast will stay true. Sunny with a high near 87 degrees on Sunday, and on Labor Day, Monday, sunny, clear, high of 83 degrees, which sounds about perfect for Labor Day. About what you want.
I agree. You know, and I have to admit, my initial reaction when you said 95 was just to curdle. But then I stop and think that a 95 like this weekend is not the same as a 95 like in August. You know, it takes all day and it works hard to get up to 95. But the moment the sun clears the mountains, bammo. I mean, you have to get out of the way as the temperature drops.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not complaining too much.
Nope, I agree. And a 95 degree day in September is very different. And it does, that heat just kind of, goes away quickly. And it's nice to have a couple more hot days because, I mean, unless there's something very strange coming, I doubt we have many more 95 degrees days left in 2022.
I doubt very much as well. When you said hazy, I was thinking of that Nat King Cole song, those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. And I don't know about you, but for me, Labor Day always meant the return to school.
Yep.
You know, as a kid, summer was over and time to grab your number two pencils and your Big Chief tablets and walk off to grade school. Did you sort of not want to do that as a kid growing up, Jack?
I did not want to do that, no. I remember that kind of end of summer feeling where your parents are making you go shopping for clothes or whatever. And
school you feel, supplies.
Yeah, it's school supplies. And and it's coming up, and I did not look forward to it. I mean, I always, once you're in school, and especially the, you know, as a little kid, it's always seems fun to see your friends again and stuff. But nope, I did not like that end of summer feeling, and I always tried my best to ignore it.
The countdown was on. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I think I was somewhat different in one of many ways, but mm-hmm. I enjoyed going because my career, mm-hmm. I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. That's when so summers to me have always, well, also I'm not good in heat.
Yeah.
And I turn grumpy and I just as soon have cooler weather where I can throw on a sweater, throw on a t-shirt, an extra sweatshirt. But for me going as, you know, Labor Day always meant now I can, you know, shine.
Yeah.
And I think I felt that way as a child, when I went to St. Matthew's Grade School in South Bend, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
part of the class of 1959.
I'm
not going to ask you, Jack, where you were in 59, but that's a whole nother story. What grade school did you go to?
I went to Highlands Elementary School in Edina, Minnesota.
And was it for 8 years or was there a junior high?
There was a junior high. I was there for 5 years. I went to the Edina Kindergarten Center.
Ooh.
And then I went to, and then I went for first through fifth to Highlands Elementary, to Valley View Middle School through ninth grade, and then 10th through graduation at Edina High School in Edina, Minnesota.
So you had what, three schools?
Yep.
Four schools?
Three? Yeah, three, and if you count kindergarten, four.
Yeah, so when I went through, there was no middle school. It was just elementary mm-hmm. and high school.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, none of that vague world in between middle school.
Yeah.
Middle of what? Confusion?
Yeah. Going right up to, right from elementary to high school seems daunting to me. Having that transition is,
that's
nice.
It's sort of scary. Jack, let's start with the interview. Jim Healy's in the studio.
Here we go. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Jim and Jack. How are you guys doing?
I think I can speak for Jim and say we're fine. We are here with you in your capacity as a member of the board of directors of the Panada Theater. And we're going to talk at this time about the upcoming Global Cinema Cafe series.
Exactly. And we're blowing the dust off of the Global Cinema Cafe series starting in October. And I know we're a little bit early, but a couple things I do want to say. First of all, the six movies that we're bringing in are being sponsored by Ting. They are paying the licensing fees. So we want to thank Ting for the generosity, the support of the arts here in Sandpoint and in North Idaho.
Tell us about the Global Cinema Cafe. You mentioned you're blowing the dust off of it.
Okay. It was started way back when by Karen Bowers.
Yeah.
And it was a neat way to bring in foreign, independent, small-budget movies to the North Idaho community. And, of course, one of the things that has occurred, as opposed to when Karen brought it in, we now have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and a gazillion HBO, and a gazillion other events to keep one at home. And so oftentimes, when you're sitting at home, you make your own choices. But what's nice about the Global Cinema Cafe series, you go, wow, I never would have seen that film.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we are doing is, the Panada is not a first-run theater. Like, you won't see Bullet Train there right now or Top Gun Maverick. In the past, when the Panada did do first-run films, they'd have to show it, like, the film 12, 13, 15 times.
Yeah.
And that would really stretch not only the staff at the Panada, but also volunteers. And a lot of times, you know, people would see a film once and then boom.
And that being because, so it obviously costs more money to the Panada to
exactly
for the license to play the film. You have to recoup that one way or another.
The other. And the other thing is, we don't want to compete with the theater in the mall.
Yeah.
Oftentimes what would happen is the Panada would have a film that would be also out at the mall. And so our rule of thumb is, this gives the Panada a tremendous opportunity to take a look at recently released films, like some on the list here, as well as some older films that are worth another look again. And our rule of thumb, if it's out on DVD, then we can go for it. And the fees, the licensing fees, are a lot less expensive than a first run. But, you know, one of the films we wanted to bring in was Coda. Coda won best film last year, Children of Deaf Adults. But An Arm and a Leg, right now, I guess it's still a hot title. Any Star Wars title. Forget it.
You know, yeah.
Even like the original.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yep. Yep. As long as it's a hot title, then the fees will stay up there.
Yeah. Are there any others from like that vintage that are hard to get a hold of for financial reasons like that?
You know, I wonder if some of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do know that we tried to get the first Star Wars and that, but just simply. Yeah.
That would have been fun. Someday maybe. Yeah.
Well, you know, this past summer, the second Wednesday of the month series, Jaws, we had about 325 people in the studio.
In the theater. Yeah.
And that was wonderful.
That was cool.
To get crowds back again. And but one thing that we are doing, and this is now brings in the business aspect of the Panada. The Panada does need to generate revenue. And when the Panada brings in movies, we don't get a rental fee. And in the past, movies would come in on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then a matinee on Sunday. And that sort of froze out anybody who would want to bring in a comedy, a concert, a play,
you know,
where we could get rental fees off of that event. When we bring in an event or a film, we don't get rental fees.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's speaking financially. It also keeps the Panada from hosting some of those events that might fit there. You know,
exactly, that might fit there well. Exactly. So what we are trying with the Global Cinema Cafe is we're doing them on Sundays. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a matinee and then an evening performance. The Sunday matinee will be at 2:30, and the evening performance will be at 6:30, because Sundays are usually, unless you're into football, mm-hmm. NFL, something like that, that Sundays are usually a free time, and that frees up the theater for a possible rental on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I like that approach. That's very clever. That's very smart.
Well, we're going to continue with the second Wednesday of the month series. It was successful with Gone with the Wind and with Jaws, and I think Goonies mm-hmm. Is coming up. And what's fun about that is one can say, oh, I've seen that movie so many times, but to see it on a big screen.
It's a big deal, yeah.
With other people. And I think we're bringing in North by Northwest.
All right.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, climbing across the face of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
You got to see it on the big screen.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll be doing that throughout the years, and we'll be bringing in films. We've got six booked October, one a month, October through April. And also what we'll do is we'll take a look at our calendar. The end of 2022 and beginning of 2023 is really filling up. But there might be an occasional Friday night or a Saturday night, and maybe we'll bring in a film.
Cool.
And we'll take. So do we want to talk about, or do you have some questions?
Well, let's talk about the Global Cinema Cafe series.
Okay.
So were you involved in picking these titles?
Yes, I am on the film committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a nice blend of recent and old, of a nice blend of different types of genres, and a nice blend of foreign and locally made here in the U.S. So on October 16th, the first film that we're bringing in is The Lives of Others. And it's a German film that was won Best Foreign Film at the Academy Awards back in, I've got my sheet here. Where's my sheet?
If it was 2006, I'm guessing 2007.
Yep.
Right?
I don't know how those numbers work.
Yeah.
But it won Best Foreign Language Film in 2006. And it's a really gripping tale of before the Berlin Wall fell. And the ways in which the government would infiltrate into the lives of people, and how they were being watched and controlled. And it's really a powerful film. And I sort of related to it because I spent 2 years at that time behind the Iron Curtain. And I was in Czechoslovakia. And I could perceive how insidious in Czechoslovakia was the STB and not the Stasi like in East Germany, the secret police, and how they monitored people, how they watched behaviors, how they controlled what was said and who and the punishment. And what was really evil about it is that if you did something or step out of line, it just did not impact you. It impacted your family, your children. And so what they did is the lives that they impacted were just not the dissenter, but everybody associated with the dissenter.
Mm-hmm.
And The Lives of Others is about a playwright who's being monitored. And it's just before the Berlin Wall came down, and it's really worthwhile seeing, and I think one of the better selections for best foreign language film. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I haven't seen any of these. I recognize all the titles except for Millions, I think.
Okay.
And I wanted to see Belfast last year, but I
haven't gotten around to it. You're jumping ahead. You're jumping ahead. So October 16th is the live, and of course we're going to be promoting these with posters throughout town and that sort of thing. And you can always go to panada.org, the website, to get the dates of the films plus the times of the day on Sunday.
Yeah. So that's October 16th, The Lives of Others. I do remember this being a pretty big deal when it came out. I mean, a lot of buzz about the film.
It is worth seeing.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I agree.
Then going into November, a movie that, upon reading about it and who it's directed by, I'm kind of surprised that I haven't heard of it, but here it is.
Millions is a delight. It's going to be on November 20th, and it's a feel-good film. And by that, I mean you'll walk out of the theater elevated. It follows a story of a 9-year-old boy whose mother has passed, and the father and brother, along with the boy, are moving into a new housing development, and he talks to saints, all of a sudden a saint will appear by him, and he'll say, St. Francis of Assisi, 429 AD to 4, just delightful. He's in his own world, and one day, they've taken the boxes from refrigerator and stove and whatever, and he makes forts out of them. Mm-hmm. And it's down by the railroad tracks. And one day he's in there, and a train goes by, and boom, 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 and this duffel bag lands in his little fort. And he opens it up, and it's full of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from God.
Yeah.
But the problem he has is, how does a 9-year-old deal with a bag full of money?
Yeah.
And part of the problem is, I don't know how real this was, but England was changing over to the euro.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to take the pounds and make it into euros. And it's how he does that. It is just charming. And it's got a scene in there, I have to admit, I'll be the first, reduces me to tears. I just become a puddle. And that's all I'm going to say. And the film is called Millions, and it was directed by Danny Boyle. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be totally wrong, but I think Danny Boyle is the one who did Slumdog Millionaire.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, that one best film.
Yeah, he's a very prominent director. And has, I think he's been nominated a couple of times for Best Director. So this is a British comedy drama film and a feel-good film from 2004.
Absolutely, and it wears well. And if you're looking for something, particularly in November, this will be in November 20th, and it's a film that, Thanksgiving, Christmas,
This one looks good. I mean, this looks like a lot of fun.
And the picture on the DVD package, I'm holding it up the microphone so people can see it, of the little boy. I have my first Holy Communion picture at home, and I look just like this kid.
Okay.
Angelic. But you don't want to take your eyes off him.
A little mischievous, yep, I would say so.
Okay, should we take a music break?
Sure.
And then this is 88.5 KRFY The Morning Show, Jim and Jack, and we're talking about the Global Cinema Cafe series sponsored by Ting. And we're going to take a music break on this date, September 1st. By the way, 2022 is two-thirds over. Okay.
All right.
Enough of that, Jim. September 1, 1977, the group called Blondie signed their first record label with Chrysalis Records. And Blondie had a whole bunch, began with The Tide Is High. But here is probably their most famous song called Play It Jack. No, not Play It Jack, but
Heart of Glass.
Heart of Glass. not mine.
Okay, we're back.
That was Blondie with Heart of Glass on this date in 1977. They signed a contract with Chrysalis and spun off. And while that song was playing, Jack and I were talking about how they've just come out with a, or they just came out or will be coming out with a 10 CD retrospective.
Yeah, they're kind of making the
rounds,
yeah,
and all the talk shows.
We're talking about the Global Cinema Cafe at the Panada Theater, which is a monthly film series.
And but none in December, because December calendar for sure. The Panada is full.
Yeah. We've discussed The Lives of Others, which will be playing October 16th, Millions, which will be playing November 20th, skipping December and heading right into January, the end of January, January 29th, Sunday. You're showing this film, which came out last year and made a big splash. And I haven't seen it yet, but I hope to. And now I'll just save it until it comes to the Panada. I think I won't seek it out anywhere else. The film is Belfast.
Yes, I saw it. I saw it in Missoula at the Roxy, and I wish, but they didn't. But we will hear. They had subtitled it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got like 25%. You know, not only was it was Irish English. It takes place in Belfast, North Ireland, in 1969, and it's directed by Kenneth Branagh, and it's really a reminiscent of his childhood growing up with the tension between the Catholics and the Protestants.
Yeah.
And
it takes place in the, the 60s, 70s?
Late 60s.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the accent. I mean, you are looking back, thinking of like The Quiet Man, where you didn't need any subtitles, but that's not the real thing. If you've ever run into an Irish person, which I have in Sandpoint, at some point we were, I met somebody from from Ireland and he could understand me. I really just nodded along when he would say something, and I kind of said, yep, that's funny. And I had no idea what he was saying.
Well, I'm going to encourage that all of these films be subtitled. Well, Lives of Others, we won't have to worry about that because that will be subtitled. But Millions is British, and now Belfast is Irish. It's sort of funny you say that because over the weekend we watched Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the Australian film, and there wasn't a subtitle option.
Mm.
The languages were either French or German, but not English.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I just don't have the ear. When I was down in Australia, it took me about 2 to 3 weeks to develop an ear.
Mm-hmm.
For instead of saying, excuse me, could you please repeat it? You know, that sort of thing. So
yeah.
This time I'm going to enjoy Belfast. It's just an incredible film about family, about religious tensions between the Protestants and the Catholics. But it's seen from the perspective, but you follow the child, the 9-year-old child through through what's going on around him and what he picks up on and what he doesn't pick up on.
Kenneth Branagh directing and writing this film based on his own upbringing and
nominated for a bunch of things.
I think at the Academy Awards.
Nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Actor in a Supporting Role, Actress in a Supporting Role.
Yeah.
Neither of them won, but the film is really powerful and worth seeing.
Yeah. Then coming in February, the film is They Shall Not Grow Old. This a departure from the previous films we discussed because this one is a documentary.
Yes, it is a documentary, and it's done by Peter Jackson, the Lord of the Rings person, as well as the Beatles Get Back.
Yeah, he's transitioned to becoming probably the most prominent documentarian all of a sudden he's joined the ranks, the foremost ranks of documentarians in the world at this point with this and the Beatles.
Absolutely. This is a 2018 film. And what he did is he went into the British archives and went through a ton, he said, of films that had been stored away. And he created and the title, They Shall Not Grow, comes from a poem. And it's about World War One and soldiers in World War One, and going over 600 hours of interviews and hours of original footage. What he did is he colorized it, and then he, I don't know how he did it, but reading lips. He also created the sounds of this, and it's just an amazing, you know, They Shall Not Grow Old.
It mentions that Jackson dedicated the film to his grandfather, who was in that war.
Yes.
And uses real footage, but the motion pictures were still a very new technology at the time. So this, yeah. I would be very interested to see this and what he does with the...
Absolutely. I saw it in San Francisco, and what followed it, and I hope we get it, I don't know if it comes with it, but there was about a 20-minute to 30-minute interview afterwards with Peter Jackson about putting the film together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a glimpse at war. I'm quite sure that there is no... Everyone's... has passed, you know, mm-hmm. and the legacy, because now we're down to just a few World War II veterans.
Right, yeah.
And so this is a glimpse at supposedly the war to end all wars and the incredible, and they're so young.
Yeah.
And, I just noticed on one of my notes, it says it comes from a 1914 poem called For the Fallen. Lawrence Binion's, famous for being used in the Ode of Remembrance. So that's the film that we're bringing in February, and I'm excited about that. And I've talked to several people about that film, and they're looking forward to that.
In March, we move on to March 19th. Dear Frankie is the movie coming up in March.
It's a Scottish film.
Okay.
And, I think it's the first one where you find Gerard Butler starring with Emily Mortimer, and
This is from 2004.
Yep,
it would have been before he made at least his big American splash in 300. Because that was a few years later, I would think. That was when he first hit my radar. Yeah,
it's the story of, again, a young boy, and it's really heartwarming. He has hearing problems, so he signs, and his father is a merchant marine, and supposedly he's at different ports throughout the world, and the boy has a map in his bedroom where he receives letters from his father. But what you find out is that Emily Mortimer, the mother, she goes to a stamp shop, and she's the one who writes the letter.
Mm.
And, that obviously there's been some marital problems in the past and not having contact with the boy's father. Mm-hmm. So she's created a reason why he's not in the boy's life. Well, he reads... This is a seaport town, and he reads the shipping news, and the boat is coming in, and he wants to meet. He wants to, of course, like any child, spend time with a parent.
Yeah.
And so, what does she do?
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful film, very heartwarming, and the kid is just—you fall in love with him.
The movie is Dear Frankie.
March
and.
I highly recommend it.
Yep.
And then we're going to close out the series in April with the film that won Best Film at the Academy Awards. And the reason why many people might remember it is that's where they, Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty said, and the winner is La La Land.
Yep.
And oh, the La La Land Man, people are giddy. They come up on the stage and then they look at it and they said, no, no, a mistake.
Yeah. Someone from PricewaterhouseCoopers comes out and says, hold on a second. Yeah. That was the first. Well, we could talk about the Oscars later. My conspiracy theory is that as the Oscars lose ratings, these controversies that keep coming up at the Oscars is in some way managed to attract attention back to the what used to be the biggest telecast in the world, and now it's seldom people tune in for it. Well, I know I'm going to tune in next year, though.
Well, what happened supposedly is that right before that, Emma Stone won Best Actress for La La Land, and they gave Warren Beatty the wrong envelope or something.
Yeah.
And, that's okay. A mistake was made. Anyway, it's Moonlight, and it's a 2016 film. And it's a coming-of-age drama about this young man, and it's told in different parts, different stages of his life. So you have three different actors playing the lead character, and he is poor, black, and gay.
Mm-hmm.
A trifecta. And it's well done. And it's powerful.
It is, as you said, it's told in three portions, looking at him when he's like a young boy, and then a teenager, and then a young man, I guess, right?
And struggling at each of those periods in his lives, either at school or at home, and trying to find his way in a world that is not very welcoming and not very hospitable. And so that's coming on April 23rd. And I think, and it received a lot of attention, Best Picture. It won Best Supporting Actor. And it just has just a whole host of people who are known in other either series on television or, I'm not up to date on a lot of where other people are. You know, I read columns about stars, and then I go, I don't know, who's that? I mean, what did they play? You know, I'm not up to that. But it's quite a powerful film, and it's called Moonlight. And so that will close out the six-film series.
And then what happens after that? In May, nothing, and then you take a few months off and come back again in...
Well, what we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to see if there's any Sundays or, Saturdays or Fridays that we can slip a movie in here or there. Then we begin the summer. See, all throughout this is going to be the second Wednesday. We'll be continuing with that. And then we will, during the summer, start up once again with the summer, because there's a whole bunch of summer films that we can bring in.
That's the Global Cinema Cafe. Do you have any other notes about what's coming up at the Panada Theater?
I would highly recommend everyone go to panada.org. There is a beginning on September the 9th, a week from tomorrow. We have The Fade, Resistance, done by a local filmmaker. I had him on last week, 12 mm-hmm. years old, and produced with his father. And that is on the 9th. Then on the 10th, I think, I don't want to say what it is on the 10th. You just go to Penn. I don't have it memorized. But then we hit the 14th of September is the second Wednesday film, Goonies, and then the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th is a string of four in a row of events. So we're going to be hopping. And then on, we get through, I think on the 23rd, 24th, and 30th and 1st Lake Pendere Rep, The Importance of Being Earnest, a play.
Ah, yes.
And
excellent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So a lot of things happening at the Panada. Go to panada.org.
I think you're breaking the news that the Goonies is coming on the 14th. It was the great poll.
The great poll, either that or Raiders of the Lost Ark, but the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
The third one. And Second one. Third one was the Sean Connery one about the chalice.
That's right.
We're going to get a phone
The Last
call.
Crusade.
Last Crusade. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. And so.
Did you cast a vote in that one, or were you strictly impartial?
No. I have a standing four-hour meeting on Wednesday night, so I'm not able to attend. So for me to vote would be not fair.
Right.
But if I could vote.
What would you have gone for?
You know, I'd have to say of the three Indiana Jones movies, that's probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
Though I have to admit, when they're in the mine in that little coal car, you know, that's just a great sequence.
Yeah, I think that whole I enjoy the Indiana Jones movies a good deal. I prefer them to Star Wars, actually.
The first one just blew my socks off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from one heart, you know, just a heart-pounding situation to another.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they first go into that cave and that ball rolls down. Yeah. And,
yeah. What fun. But the second one, I think that would have been my vote, although I haven't seen The Goonies probably in about 20 years, so maybe I'm ripe to revisit it. But I think that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, folks should have voted for that one.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah. That's a good one.
I agree. Let's take a music break, and then let's head into the event calendar. Again, it's the Global Cinema Cafe series at the Panada Theater begins in October with The Lives of Others, and it is brought to you by Ting. We want to thank them for supporting the film series. On this date, September 1, in Sydney, Australia, In Excess, an incredible band, they had a great run in the 80s and the 90s, made their live debut. And here is the only single to reach number one here in the United States by them, called Need You Tonight, from their Kick album, I think. So here is In Excess, Need You Tonight.
You're one of my kind.
Got to let you know you're one of my kind. I hope one of your kind is listening to 88.5 KRFY, community-supported radio for North Idaho. And I'm here with Jack. I'm Jim. And we're going to talk about Labor Day weekend and upcoming events and what's happening.
Well, let me tell you, coming to us from Sandpoint Online, we have the current events calendar. The big headline item is Fall Fest. Fall Fest is this weekend. I think they always do it on Labor Day weekend, don't they?
Yep.
Up at Schweitzer, September 2nd through 5th.
Friday through Monday.
4 days of beer tasting and fun at Schweitzer. Two bands on Friday and over 80 beers, ciders, seltzers, and a handful of wines. There will be live music all weekend, so you can bring your blanket and kind of sit out there festival style. Then on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, 8 more bands total. It is family friendly and you don't have to drink beer, there will be a soda station where you can mix your own
flavors.
That's
where I spend my time.
Yeah. And create wild concoctions. Arts and crafts vendors, a food court, souvenir glassware, and et cetera, et cetera. There will be several other Fall Fest souvenirs, but it warns us that some will sell out. So this is kind of the end of summer celebration for Schweitzer. Yeah. They shut down the chairlift will be open this weekend and hiking and mountain biking, and then they're going to shut down. And I suppose at this point they start getting ready for ski season, probably.
Shush.
Yeah.
Think of that white stuff. You know, I can't help but think that, boy, take a berry bucket. and take that lift up to the top and walk down. And because this might be the last good time to be picking those huckleberries.
Yeah.
It's been a good season. The second shelf in our garage freezer
is
filled with blueberries and raspberries, and I'm getting blackberries today. And so it's going to be a very good fall season.
Hey, here's something that is not on the Sandpoint Online events calendar, but something that I should mention because I don't think we have yet on the morning show. The Federal Communications Commission approved this radio station to resume full power operations from a different location. So those of you listening on the air right now, and those of you who are listening online but wish you could be tuned in on the radio, here's your heads up. We're coming back at full power, hopefully next week.
Now, the thing is we changed towers, correct?
That's right. The tower that we broadcast on for 10 years doesn't exist anymore. It was demolished. So we got our equipment off the tower just in the nick of time. And then I think later that day or the next morning, it was actually gone. There's a big hole in the sky where there used to be a tower.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back. We'll be back to full power. Like I say, hopefully next week we'll find out. If not that, then I would say the week after that, depending on how quickly we can get contractors up here to scale the tower.
Yep, I do want to say, you know, that this would not have happened without the hard work and dedication of the person on the other side of this table, Jack Peterson. He has done Herculean labor to get this to happen and to as smooth as it's been. I know it's been an inconvenience for some of our listeners, but we're going to come back stronger and clearer.
I think that's correct, yeah. And I will sleep through the night once again, once it's all over.
Until you get my call, hey, Democracy Now! Didn't come in.
Yeah. I'll continue now with some other upcoming events. The 7th.
Thank you, Jack, for all of your hard work and dedication to the station.
Well, thank you for the compliment, and I appreciate that very much. The 7th annual Walk for Hope event is coming up on September 4th at Dog Beach. That's in Sandpoint.
Sunday.
This is a walk across the Long Bridge to promote suicide awareness, hope, and healing for our community. Registration forms are available at area businesses as well as online, walkforhopesandpoint.org. You get a shirt if you're registered to participate. Free hamburgers and hot dogs after the event.
That is Sunday. And on Saturday and Sunday, that would be the 3rd and the 4th, the Funky Junk Antique and Craft Festival at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. It's the event goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy the largest and longest running vintage crafts festival in Idaho. There will also be live music as opposed to dead music, a garden bar, great food, and wonderful vendors. There will be a $5 admission for the whole weekend. And children 12 or under are free. You can go to funkyjunkantiqueshow.com for more information.
Do you plan to go to that one, Jim?
No, I'm going up to Nelson for the weekend.
Well, that'll be nice.
Just to try an adventure in another country. We have our reservation for when we have to cross into the border. We have a time, and I don't know what the penalty is for being early or late.
Yeah.
But we have an 11:45 crossing.
It's not quite as easy as it used to be, I guess.
No. I have no idea. This is an adventure that I will be able to report on next Thursday.
Okay. Well, enjoy your time in Nelson. That should be fun.
Nelson's all, and also the American dollar is much stronger up there.
Hey. Well, there you go. Okay. There is also another big thing going on this weekend. Everybody wants to do something on Labor Day weekend.
Why not?
The Coaster Classic Car Show. Cars from across the Northwest converge on Silverwood Theme Park during Labor Day weekend. It's the 19th annual Coaster Classic Car Show. Okay.
Okay, and then I have the 3rd, which is Saturday, through the 6th, which is Tuesday, the Artist Studio Tour, annual self-guided driving tour of working studios through North Idaho, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy summer in North Idaho and discover terrific new art. Visit the working studios of painters, sculptors, photographers, jewelers, potters, glass artists, and more. Set your own schedule and enjoy the scenery as you explore the works of familiar favorites and new artists. The tour is completely free of charge. For more information, visit arttourdrive.org. And I think that's a neat idea because, you know, you walk into a gallery, you see a finished painting and you go, oh, I like that or whatever. But when you go into the artist's studio, you get to see part of the process, you know, that it just didn't mm-hmm. appear. You get to see the environments in which art is created. And I think that makes it more real.
I think that would be, yes. Would you like to see the... I'd like to see the sculptor. That'd be my...
The potter. I like the potter. Yeah. You know, you think of, you know, like on the wheel. I don't know if you've ever tried to throw anything on a wheel, but whoa, wobble, wobble, wobble. I think it's fascinating to see how artists create, no matter what their medium is.
Yeah.
You know, from the idea to the final product, you know, the process in between.
We've got a little bit more of a description about the Fade Resistance taking place in 2052. Okay.
No. It takes place on September the 9th.
Okay. Yeah, September 9th, which is next weekend, I suppose.
Next Friday.
Taking place in 2052. Follow a teenage girl as she finds her way through a reality forced upon her. She must not only recover from trauma dealt to her in the past, but find the courage to pursue two of her friends who have mysteriously disappeared. Starring Wilhelm Anderson, Robert Moore, and Holly Beeman. That will be cool. A locally produced film.
Locally produced and mm-hmm. directed by a 12-year-old. And I think it's important. I think what they're planning is to have a red carpet affair
cool.
and lights and everything like that. They've gotten a permit from the city. And I think it's important to support and applaud and validate youth as mm-hmm. they pursue their artistic and creative dreams.
Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree. We have about 20 seconds left in the show, so I guess
Jack,
that's
it's been great. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you very much.
And tonight, the
you
folk
too.
Show at 9 o'clock.
Splendid. Okay. Any particular theme tonight?
Yes. I just finished reading John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, and it moved me into Woody Guthrie, songs, the Tom Joad Part 1, Part 2, and Pretty Boy Floyd, and things like that. So I'm going to do Woody Guthrie and other artists.
That should be good. We'll stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that, right here on 88.5 KRFY.